So, first of all, I'd like to thank Yi Leung and the committee, the teachers at Tan Siang Chan Lin, for inviting us here today. Originally, the idea behind the trip was just to come up to Vivekananda, which we'll be doing in the afternoon, but I thought it would be more useful, actually, if we could come here. We don't have any Sunday school at Vivekananda, but there's a Sunday school here, and then we can do like we did at IBC, have this interaction with another group of children and get to know some new friends and so on. So it's always very useful. It gives better exposure for the children, also for the parents can see how other people operating their schools and so on, and we can all learn from that. Okay, so it's a very nice welcome when the children got here, all the children from Tan Siang Chan Lin, and singing a welcome song, and then also able to take part in the morning chanting. So I just thought I'd say a few things today about education, and particularly about educating young people and the moral education of young people. Now, as everybody knows, because everybody's putting their children through schools, there's a great deal of pressure these days on the children. They're not only going to the normal government type schools in the daytime, but also many of the children have to go for tuition afterwards. And the reason is that there's so much information that they have to absorb when they're growing up these days, and then they're having to take on quite a lot more than perhaps what the older people did in their school days. The hours are longer, and the time that they have to work, the information that they have to absorb is much greater now. So they take on all this information. Now, when we're teaching a normal type of subject like mathematics, or whether it's a language subject or whether it's a science subject or whatever, then the way that we get over the message is actually having to pass on a whole string of information to people so that they can absorb it and will be able to use it in their later life. But when we come to a moral education, then a moral education is something taught in a different way. Okay, so when we're teaching moral education, religious education, of course it's important. We have to get over the basics of the religion. There are certain fundamental teachings that we have to get over to the kids. The Four Noble Truths, the Eightfold Noble Path, and so on. This is all information that we have to pass on. But what I'd like to say is that when we're teaching, one of the main ways that we're teaching is by example. And it's really through having good examples that we manage to get over how to behave properly, how to behave in a wholesome manner, how to behave well for the children. And children, of course, always follow the example of the people who are around them. So, you know, the likely thing is if they're born in a family of thieves, they'll grow up a thief. So the example that that we set all the time is very important for the kids. Now, one of the things is that whether we like it or not, as parents and as teachers, we're actually teaching all the time. There's no time when you're not actually teaching. You may think that it's only when you're sat in front of a whiteboard or when you're actually engaged in a formal teaching process that you're teaching, but in fact it's much more fundamental than that because of this situation where we're teaching by example all the time. So if people get angry, then you're teaching, in fact, that through anger you can get things done. If you are always chasing after new things, new goods in the home and so on and so forth, then what you're teaching is to be discontent with the situation that you have and always trying to get more. So these are some of the ways that we teach in not so wholesome ways, but we also teach in really wholesome ways as well. Every time that you go and do a dana, yeah, You're teaching your kids being generous, giving gifts to those who are worthy of gifts, helping to provide support. These are all worthy and wholesome things to be doing. If you maintain your precepts, then what you're teaching your kids all the time is that that the precepts are important, and kids can really see contradictions really quickly. If you take precepts and then you don't maintain the precepts, the kids will see it straight away. So you say, you're not going to kill living beings, say, and then they see you killing mosquitoes, or they see you killing little creatures around the place. They will notice it, and they will understand from that that you say precepts are important, but you act as though they're not. So it's very important in not only at the school or at the Sunday school, but also in the home, in all that you're doing, to maintain a good level of mindfulness, because the influence that you're having, unconsciously for most part, you're not really thinking about teaching while you're just living. But in fact, with kids, you're always teaching. So it's very important to have a good level of mindfulness to realize what your actions, the impact that your actions are having on other people, especially on children. And then, of course, it's good to make sure that they get a proper religious education. If you can get them along to Sunday school and so on, then they can get the fundamentals of the religion, know a little bit more about their heritage, where it's coming from and so on and so forth. And that also will be beneficial for them. But there's another type of example that we can provide. First of all, there's a personal example, but a very important part of the teaching, I think, which is quite neglected, I feel anyway, quite neglected these days, is the example that the Buddha, the Bodhisattvas, and the Arahats provide for children. In the Middle Ages, the cultures of the Middle Ages, which were really terrific cultures that had developed during that time, they were actually based really on the life story of the Buddha, on the lives of the Bodhisattvas, and the lives of the Arahats. You see, in those days, those were the heroes, those were the people that you found the stories about, those were the shows that were put on, they used to perform these stories and so on and so forth. Now these days, what we get with all the media and everything like this, is you get a different type of hero, which is not so wholesome, and they don't provide really good examples for people. So when we teach about the life of the Buddha, when we teach about the lives of the Bodhisattvas and of the Arahats, what we're doing is providing a good example for the children to be able to emulate. They get to understand, I've just been translating recently quite a lot of the Jatakas for a collection of verses that I'm doing at the moment. And so it's entailed actually having to read through maybe about 200 or 300 of the Jataka stories, which are the stories of the Gautama Buddha's previous lives. And it's really a treasure house of wisdom, of ethics, and a good example for people. But you hardly ever find these stories being taught anymore. And really, it's overlooking what is really a treasure, a moral example for the children that we can bring to them. And it's also told in a story form. So a story form is always more interesting than just like list form, four noble truths and eightfold noble path and so on and so forth. Those sort of things, of course, have to be taught, but it's very hard to keep that sort of teaching up for a long time because all the kids just fall asleep. Now, the other thing that children are very used to these days is technology. That means they interact with their computers, with videos, with audios and so on. So when we're teaching, I think one of the main ways that we can keep children interested, or one of the main things that we can do to keep children interested, is to meet them halfway. Of course, some of it has to be got over just by talking to them and just by your normal sort of talk, explaining various things to do with the teaching, but also to make it more interesting for kids, you know, if we can use audio-visual materials, that really engages them and makes it more interesting, and it meets them where they're at as well, because for their own interest and their own pleasure at home and so on, that's what they're doing. So then if we can present materials in that way, then it becomes a way that we can get the message over to them in a form that is visually interesting, or, you know, interesting in an audio way. An audio way means maybe through chanting, maybe through singing, so on and so forth, also through dancing and so on. There has to be a kind of mix of the sort of materials that we present to the children if we're going to keep them interested. And one final way that we make the schools interesting for the kids is by organising trips like this. I think it's a really good education when people get out from their own communities, get out from their own backwaters and what they're doing every day or every week, and they go and they are able to meet people in a different environment who have different ideas, different ways of presenting things and so on. I remember the first school trip that we did from Bodilangkaran, we actually went to Thailand, to IVC, and there we did a joint program with the Thai children. So for the Thai children, it's a very good opportunity for them to meet the Chinese children from Malaysia, and for our children it was a very good opportunity to meet. You see, like this, they can get to understand people live in different countries, they have different cultures, different languages, they operate in a different way, and it's really a good and liberal education when you get to get out of your own environment and get into a new environment and find new ways of expressing yourself. So, yeah, just to say thank you to the committee and to the teachers and the children here at Tanxian Chanyin for inviting us over today. It's a really good opportunity for everybody, and with a bit of luck, somebody might have the inspiration to invite Tanxian Chanyin to come down to Taiping sometime. Okay, so everybody say Saladu.